Exactly halfway through the 8 o'clock hour, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you here on the program. So we've been talking about this for several weeks, and you were here with me. The day that the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, Governor Gavin Newsom affirmed that California would be a sanctuary for those seeking abortion care. And he signed legislation protecting doctors and patients from liability that's imposed by states that are banning the procedure. We're expecting about 10,000, maybe more, out-of-state residents coming to California annually to seek abortion care. This is according to a new UCLA report. But about 40% of California counties don't have a single abortion provider. We'll look at that access today. Planned Parenthood has been providing medical services in Orange County since 1965, offering a full range of reproductive health care services to not just women, but men, teens, and families at their nine health care centers here in Orange County and also San Bernardino County. In to talk to us about addressing some of those access deserts and a wide range of subjects, we welcome for the conversation this morning the Public Affairs Director of Planned Parenthood, Sadaf Rahmani. Welcome, Sadaf. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming. Delighted that you're here. An important conversation. I want to start off with the numbers first, if that's okay. I mentioned that it's estimated you'll be seeing about 1,000 more patients per month coming in from other states. What kind of rise have you witnessed so far? And would we be planning to open additional facilities here in Southern California and specifically Orange County?
Sure. Those are very good questions. And yes, even before the final decision came down, we were anticipating we were already seeing a rise in the number of out-of-state patients coming to us because of that law that Texas passed in September, SB 8.
Right.
And so, before September, in August, we were seeing averaging about 3 to 4 patients, out-of-state patients a month. And we think most of them were college students who were coming to us who hadn't changed their ID, right. Didn't have a California ID. But right after, starting in September when SB 8 went into effect, that number started rising. And right now, after Roe v. Wade was overturned in the month of July, currently we are at about 52 out-of-state patients that we've seen so far in July. And the month isn't over yet. And I'll just like to say that this is just the beginning. We're anticipating up to 26 states completely ban abortion or severely limited. And so we're about halfway through. There's about 14 states that have done that so far.
Right.
And with Arizona is very ambiguous, and maybe we can talk about that. But right. We're anticipating that number to rise exponentially. But currently we're at 52, whereas before we were at about 4.
Right. Some of those states, 13 of those states, had trigger laws in effect. And those trigger laws immediately triggered the ban on abortion when the decision came down. The Orange County chapter has started a program that helps defray the cost of lodging and travel for patients from out of state. Tell us how that works. Is it case by case? Is it a flat rate? Are you thinking about maybe bulk purchases with certain hotel chains? How does that work?
Yeah, so at PPSBC, at our local affiliate, we believe that everyone should have access to the essential high-quality abortion care that they need, regardless of which zip code they're in or which state that they live in. So that's why we created the Abortion Aid Program, which is a program that offers, helps out-of-state patients navigate the process. It might be, kind of hard for folks to find information, so we wanted to put everything in one place for them to find. So the website is abortionaid.com, and we work with out-of-state patients to offer a variety of support, including, hotel accommodations if they need it, gas, paying for gas. We all know how expensive gas is currently,
right, right.
And even airfare if that's needed. But we're really, it's rooted in our belief that everyone should have access to abortion care, and we want to make sure that we're doing our part and everything we can to help make that accessible for everyone.
That's great. And it all starts with information, and absolutely. Information is the key there. Mm-hmm. So thank you for putting up that information page. I want to talk about the federal government and what they can do. Together with Planned Parenthood. Is Planned Parenthood planning on lobbying the federal government to allow services on federal lands in states that ban abortion? And would, if in fact they do, would Planned Parenthood eagerly occupy those spaces if allowed?
You know, and those are good questions. They're questions for our federal office, our national offices. I know they're working with the administration and they're working with our members of Congress very closely to find, you know, the best solutions for this. Obviously, the administration has already taken many steps. There's a lot more that they're working on. And so, but in terms of the best way forward federally, of course, is the Women's Health Protection Act.
Right.
And that's something that was just reintroduced, I believe, last week. And, you know, the makeup of the Senate as it is currently, it's probably going to fail again. Right. But, we got to keep pushing for that. The Women's Health Protection Act is really the way forward legislatively for a federal Roe v. Wade, you know, federalized and put into federal law.
Right. So and another question that would be answered on the federal level, but I'll ask you this maybe on a personal level. Right now, there's over 300,000 female veterans of childbearing age. Should the VA allow for abortion services, even in states where abortion is banned? And should Planned Parenthood lobby for that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we believe everyone should have access to quality care. And abortion is really basic, essential health care. So everyone should have access to it. You know, it's an issue that is not just a woman's issue. It impacts everyone. So it's critical for everyone, anyone who needs it, to have access to abortion.
Right. These last several years, and certainly during the previous administration, as we were watching them load the Supreme Court with their like-minded thinkers on there. I just want a gut reaction from you. From, you kind of knew it was coming, as we all saw it was coming down the road. What was your reaction the day that the decision came down?
Yeah, it was surprising because we knew it when Justice Barrett was confirmed, right? We knew it when the Supreme Court accepted to hear the Jackson's Woman's Health case, right? We knew it when the leak happened,
right.
But it was no less surprising and gut wrenching when the decision was dropped. You know, I think part of all of us, was kind of like glimmer of hope, maybe just hoping that someone would change their mind, right. And maybe with the leak something would happen. And of course not. You know, the final decision was almost word to word the same as the leak, and
right.
So it was very, very tough. For all of us at Planned Parenthood, it was a very emotional day, you know. We had rallies that day, 6 rallies across Orange and San Bernardino counties. And, you know, that was really good to see the support of the community. We had one here in Laguna Beach as well. And, you know, that gave us hope that the community is with us. You know, the majority of Americans support access to abortion. So the fight isn't over yet.
Okay, well, good. Thank you. And I want to kind of like specifically talk about the fight and the fight that we've been putting on here. I mentioned this a while back. For over 50 years, the other side had a singular focus that really drove their politics. They voted smartly. They voted down ballot judges and state legislators, and they turned their church pulpits into political megaphones in order to finally achieve suppressing a woman's right to make choices with her own body. They finally were able to achieve that. Staying negative for just a second with me, if you could, where did the failure to keep a constitutional protection occur? Where do you as a woman point that finger? Mm-hmm. Where did that failure happen in the past 50 years for us?
Like you said, it was a campaign that took 5 decades. And I think not catching it early enough, you know, not talking about abortion from as essential care from an early on, you know, that is where the failure occurred. We allowed the conservative movement to stigmatize abortion, right? To make it a word that we should whisper and shouldn't talk about. And I think that's what we're really pushing for now, is to let's reclaim the word abortion and let's treat it like, you know, we talk about our dental care.
Right.
Why not talk about abortion care or in reproductive care the same way? And so I think that's what it was a slow cultural change that occurred that we weren't able to keep up with and counteract and come up with our own narrative. And I think that's where a lot of work now, our fight is also long term, and that's where we'll get a lot of benefit, is by changing the conversations around abortion.
Right. And they were able to message, wrongfully so, they were able to message the fact that Planned Parenthood is just abortions.
Right.
And it is so much more than that. Abortions is just a tiny percentage of Planned Parenthood and what you do, medical services of all kinds there.
Right. Right.
Even though 32% of Americans say that abortion will be their single most important issue when voting in the midterms coming up, that's still less than the 39% that are calling rising prices their top issue, but it's higher than the 23% that talk about crime. How do you generate more enthusiasm among voters, and particularly women, to vote in the midterms? And should the next couple of elections, the midterms in 2024, should that be decided by a woman's bloc? I'd love to see an organizational effort to get a women's bloc of votes.
Well, I think women have, at least from what I remember in the last couple of elections, women have been leading in the number of voting, you know, black women, specifically women of color. So I think women, you know, they're going to continue coming out, you know, out to vote. And I think they are coming out. But we also need our men to show up with this issue, too. Like I said earlier, this is an issue that impacts everyone. It's not just a woman's issue. You know, a man who has, you know, who's forced to become a parent before they're ready to do so has a lot to lose as well. You know, right. it disproportionately impacts women, but it is also very impactful of men. So, we need our whole country and our whole, maybe all Democrats to come out and support this issue, you know. And I think women, you know, have been showing up, and I'm sure with this issue, this is, you know, everyone I've talked to, this is on top of their agenda. But right. Like you said, you know, the economy is always the issue that drives elections. And so, and abortion, access to abortion and reproductive care is a driving issue for women's economic security. So, obviously making this an intersectional issue is important, and maybe more folks can relate to it. But I think, yeah, we need to galvanize everyone and make sure that they get out and vote around this issue and others.
Beautifully put. And maybe you can't answer this question for nationally how it will look, but is there a plan for Orange County Planned Parenthood to support more down ballot candidates and start spending more money on educational advertising, for instance?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we've always been a really big supporter of local elections and local offices. So we work, a big part of the work that we do is also doing community education and making sure that our local school boards and school districts are complying with the Comprehensive Healthy Youth Act and making sure that our students are getting the comprehensive sexual education that they need. So, you know, at that level, we have to really make sure that we are electing candidates that are supportive of those efforts and that believe everyone should get the comprehensive sexual education. So we've always, you know, local elections have always been important for us, more so now, given, you know, what's kind of the national landscape. Right. We believe California is a reproductive freedom state right now, but it didn't happen by accident. It happened because we were supporting a lot of local candidates who then went to run for state elections and bigger offices. So absolutely, it's something that we've always done and we're going to continue doing and making it a priority.
Fantastic. And what do the next couple of months look like for you and Planned Parenthood of Orange County?
Yeah, so we're approaching elections, and so we are ramping up. It's August today, actually.
Today's August 1st. August. It happened fast,
yeah,
didn't it?
Right? So we. I actually, you bring up a good question, kind of reminding me of a very important thing that's going to be on the ballot this in November. So I don't know if you've heard about the Proposition 1, which would put abortion in our state constitution, the explicit right to abortion, of course, you know. Federally, Roe v. Wade was based on the right to privacy under the 14th Amendment. That's what made it so vulnerable to the attack and it's being overturned. We want to make sure that California is leading by example and that other states can kind of copy our efforts here. So we're going to push this out to voters and hope that we get enough voters, which all data and surveys we've done point to the direction that we do have enough votes for this.
Right.
But if Proposition 1 passes in November, we will be able to add the right to abortion to our state constitution. So that's a big effort that we're working on to make sure that gets passed. There are 13 bills that are going through the legislature currently that are supported by Planned Parenthood that just expand access for in-state and out-of-state patients. So we're working on that. And then, you know, we're working to make sure we can get the care to all the patients that come to us. So it's, you know, we're trying to work from all fronts.
You have a lot of stuff on your plate, And we can expect Planned Parenthood to be on the forefront of these issues all the way up through November and beyond.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Where can people find out more information about Proposition 1, mm-hmm. or where can they find out information about Orange County Planned Parenthood?
Great question. So bandsoffabortion.org. We like to make it easy.
Okay.
If you go to bandsoffabortion.org, you'll learn about everything that I just mentioned. You'll have access to our contact information, and you'll see any events that we have coming up in the future that if you want to get involved with advocacy work on reproductive rights, that is the place to check out.
Okay. We'd love to have you back and check up on you on a regular basis. Absolutely. And see where we're moving along in this fight.
Thank you so much.
Sadaf Rahmani, Public Affairs Director for Planned Parenthood of Orange County. Thank you so very much for being here this morning. A really important conversation.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.